And welcome to The Deuce. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we are doing our second movie in our movie music like series, correct?
Yep.
And our movie is Pitch Perfect 2. It is episode 17 of The Deuce podcast.
Yep. I can't believe we've done this many episodes.
Yeah. I can't believe it either. Hold on. I sounded a little echoey.
Okay.
I sound better now.
Okay. But yeah, this is the second in our musical series. So our music-based series. So last time Sister Act 2. And then we have this one and one more right around the corner.
Oh, Grease 2.
Grease 2.
I'm excited about Grease 2.
I am. we have a special
guest
joining
us. I'm more excited.
I think you are more excited. We have a special guest joining us, too, who I'm more excited for that, I think.
You gotta rock, you gotta roll, you gotta bowl tonight. And then the sex ed song. Look, I know all the songs on Grease 2.
Yeah.
What, is this like Newsies?
No,
when I like watch Newsies all the time and you get all frustrated with me because I'm like...
When have I ever been frustrated with you for watching Newsies? That is...
Never.
Don't even put that on me.
Never. And that's why we work well together. we appreciate you listening, and there are a lot of podcasts out there to listen to.
Yep.
But don't take our word for it.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Where's the beef?
Hey, how you doing?
Hold on to your butt.
Feels like an Arby's snack.
Mine.
Son of a... That's gonna leave a mark.
Chili. Baby back rib.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
This is Tom and Jim's Top 5. Naming their top 5 lists on everything pop culture. Celebrating the 90s. Sports, movies, music, and more. They're not authorities. Just grown children.
And we're back.
Yeah, they're a great podcast. I really enjoy like everything that they put out.
They are,
they've been very supportive of us too.
They have. I've written in a couple times and said, "Hey, just commented on their top five, like top five sodas." They do top five, like I think the last one they did that I listened to was '90s One Hit Wonders.
Oh yeah,
that was a good one.
Yeah,
so yeah.
So no, they do an incredible job. So definitely take a listen to them if you have not.
Yeah, which one to start with? I don't know. They're all great. I would start with the beer one.
Yeah, we'll just start at the
think
beginning.
Think they drink on that one?
Start at the beginning and work your way through.
Yeah, just start with the beginning. I'm sure they're gonna love that one. They did a Bill Murray episode as their first episode.
Nice.
So yeah, there you go. But we are the Deuce, and we are gonna begin deucing Pitch Perfect 2.
Drop the deuce.
We're going to drop the deuce. Do it now.
Okay. So.
Again, there should be a sound effect.
Of some kind here. A sound effect to that?
Yeah. Dropping the deuce. Boom.
I know what sounds dropping a deuce normally makes.
Depends on what you ate.
I can totally have a sound effect ready for this.
No, please don't. I don't think we should. No.
It's going to be in
I heard it when I said it. Okay, I heard it when I said it. Look, we named it the Deuce for a reason.
Yes.
Because it was funny.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, go ahead. Let's start.
Okay. Let's preface this by saying...
Should we?
Yeah. So, all the movies that we've watched...
Oh, yeah, go ahead. At least one of us have seen.
At least one of us has seen the...
First one.
The first one. At least one. And usually it's me who's seen the first one.
For a lot. There was some of them at the beginning that I saw, but it's mostly you.
Yeah, but it's mostly me.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of stuff.
If you want to call it stuff, sure.
I was going to say junk, but I didn't want to be derogatory. This is actually the first movie that we can think of that we have... Neither of us has seen the first
one. Yeah, I don't know anything about this movie, and you don't either.
No, and this is... It's
I know Anna Kendrick was in it. That's
yes,
all I know.
That's all I know, too.
And the Cup song.
Well,
because that was big.
When I'm Gone, yeah.
A it's the Cup song.
Lulu and the Lampshades did it.
It is a cover.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Maynard and the Mountaineers did the original song.
Okay.
And then it was covered by Lulu and the Lampshades.
Okay.
I think like in the 90s. And then Anna Kendrick covered it.
Yeah. It sounds like a 90s band, Lulu and the Lampshades. Yeah.
Well, Maynard and the Mountaineers was like in the 20s or something like that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's old. It's an old song.
Wow.
Neither of us had really seen the first one.
No.
So this is kind of...
This is not a movie, like, I didn't have any desire to watch these movies. That's not saying that they're bad.
I kind of did, but I just never got around to it, I didn't go out of my way to go hunt it down.
Because the first one was very popular.
Yeah.
I think it was more of a sleeper hit, right? Like, it came out of the blue, and people were like, whoa, it's funny, you gotta go see it.
Plus, it came out when a lot of that acapella stuff was real.
The acapella stuff
hard,
was really hitting. Yeah.
And
the swing movement of the aughts.
That is,
say.
Oh my God, that is so true. How very appropriate.
Yeah, there you go.
So anyway, this is altogether, it's interesting and frightening at the same time, because in all the other ones, at least one of us knew what was going on.
Yeah, so we apologize if there's anything
blind.
That we're kind of... We're just going in this blind. And that's what our podcast is.
Yeah, this is how we kind of intended this.
Yeah.
But we realized as we started going that we've seen a lot more than we thought we did.
Yeah,
I think
it was more like there was, because each one of us was a life vest for the other person.
Yeah.
So we're going in.
Yeah, we're just diving in head first.
We're diving in. The bombs of Dunkirk. Go watch that movie, the better movie. Okay, go ahead.
What? Okay, so we open with the whole Universal title card, but it's a cappella, like, rendition of the Universal fanfare theme being done by John Smith, played by John Michael Higgins.
Okay.
And Gail, played by Elizabeth Banks, who is also the director.
The director. I don't know. I can't remember. I didn't look up who directed the first movie.
I don't know.
But I'll look it up. Go ahead.
They're doing the a cappella version of the Universal fanfare, and they welcome everybody to their podcast, saying that they run the premier a cappella podcast called Let's Talkapella.
Which is funny. And then I also, at that point, I wanted to look up more podcasts about acapella. There are real podcasts.
Are there?
I mean, there's podcasts about everything.
Oh, yeah.
But some of them that you might want to listen to, I guess, are called Mouth Off, an acapella podcast, Ocu Geeks, the Ocu Podcast, or the, yeah. And America Acapella. Those are the podcasts that I found. So
nice. If
you really like acapella, go listen to those. But don't do it right now. Listen to ours.
Yes, listen to ours. You wait patiently.
Yeah.
So
I just thought it was funny. I had to look that up.
So Let's Talkapella
was... I love that. That's such a better name.
It's covering the Bard and Bella's performance at the Kennedy Center for President Barack Obama's birthday. So they are performing. They've come to notoriety after the first one. I think they won regionals or whatever you do on Glee. And let's say this whole thing, let's just preface it right now. This is basically Glee, like collegiate Glee.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's collegiate Glee.
Yeah.
Jason Moore directed the first movie. This was his first major motion picture.
Yeah.
Directed Dawson's Creek, Everwood, Brothers and Sisters, so mostly television. So there you go. And now Stay Tuned, the movie, 2018. I don't know if that's a remake of Stay Tuned.
Like Stay Tuned with John Ritter?
I don't know. I'm clicking
on that.
That's
interesting.
Yeah, good. Keep going.
So anyway, they're performing at the Kennedy Center for the President's birthday. There's some of the lines, like, and I get it's supposed to be John's character, like John and Gail, like, especially John says he's, like, really off-putting things. And when he first said
it. It's John Michael Higgins. He doesn't find well doing it.
Well, right.
He's funny.
Right. But when it first started, I'm like, what the hell movie are we watching?
Right.
Like, immediately got defensive about stuff. Like, I was like, what the hell did he just say? Like, one of the first things he says they're an inspiration to all the girls too ugly to be cheerleaders.
I don't know if they're in the first movie.
I don't know either.
I don't know. I mean, you could write in and tell us because I'm not looking that one
up. Yeah, right. They immediately bust into a Glee-style mashup of various songs.
Now, do you think that was Obama, like, they're filming, or was it just cut up, like, stock footage?
I think it was stock footage of him doing something, because they had him smiling and whatever, and then later on looking upset.
I just know Michelle Obama really liked the cup song.
I'm sure she does. Yeah. She probably can do it, too.
Yeah, with her arms? Of course she can.
Hell yeah, she works out.
Oh, no.
So then they make sure to call out in a typical Deuce-style exposition.
Yeah.
They call out that Becca is the leader.
Yeah.
Then they don't really talk about hardly anybody else.
Not really.
And then they
said... They sort of do. They say something about the Guatemalan girl.
Yeah, Florencia is, like, backflipping across the stage, and they say... Gail says, Florencia lands those flips, and then John says... She should do that backflip over the fence into Mexico.
And you're like, what?
And I went, what the hell?
And then she went,
she's Guatemalan. And he goes, oh, none of that matters.
And then I was like, wait a minute, that is stock footage of Obama, but maybe that's not. Maybe this is actually Trump error. Has he come in yet? No, he hasn't.
No,
right? This is 2015.
Yeah, okay. No, he wasn't there yet.
Oh, yeah, this movie came out, like, a couple years ago, right? I was thinking it was, like, last year.
Time flies with this one. It's okay. It has been a couple years. Didn't the first one come out? Was that 2012, 2015, 2013?
Oh, probably.
Yeah. So they're still doing their mashup, and then Fat Amy, played by Rebel Wilson, by my mortal nemesis, Rebel Wilson.
Yeah, you're not a big Rebel Wilson fan.
I am not a Rebel Wilson fan. Like, occasionally... I laugh at something she does, but for the most part, I hate the way that she does almost everything.
Yeah. No, I mean, we'll talk about that. Yeah. I'll talk about that more once we get into her lines.
Yeah. So, Fat Amy descends from the ceiling.
I call her Pink Eye instead of Pink.
Doing the, like, how she hangs, like, does the wire work and stuff, but she's descending, like, on those, like, strips of
like
fabric.
A muslin strip or whatever.
And she's
circus
and
LA.
She's doing fine, you know, rotating around and doing whatever. But then all of a sudden she drops part of the way and is being held kind of awkwardly and her pants rip.
Right.
And they said, oh, she has no underwear on. And slowly she rotates. Like it's just slowly happening where she's rotating and people are going, no, 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 no. Until she basically is, like, you know, vagina forward to the president. So.
Right. And this is what I say about that. As a joke, visually it works.
Yeah.
Written, it doesn't.
No.
So on paper, it doesn't really work. But I think Elizabeth Banks actually does a good job with how she's, you know, she turns around and like, the audience is like, and so that part works. But just writing the fact that this has to happen to me doesn't work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it was
I think
awkward.
That's a lot of this movie.
Yeah, I think that it could have been done differently. Yeah. I think it missed some of the impact. But, you know, humorous moment. I was laughing more at the fact that there was, like, staffers on the floor, like, jumping up and, like, trying to, like, get her down or
stop
her
from
rotating.
Right, and that's what I mean. It was more like the whole... Yeah.
And, of course, they cut to television shows everywhere talking about this.
Right.
Including one that
again,
had
pre-Trump, because we'd be talking about Trump.
Right.
But instead we're talking about
he'd
this.
He'd been up there grabbing it himself, if that was the... but it had a title card, or like the Chyron was... Muffgate?
Yeah, okay.
It was like
they go through all these late night shows and also news daily shows.
And
like The View.
Morning Joe and Joe
Morning
Scarborough
Joe.
And Mika Brzezinski
Jake,
were talking
Jake
about
Tapper.
It. Rosie O'Donnell on The View.
Was she on The View in 2015? I thought that was more 10 years ago.
Oh, God. No,
she came back.
She came back.
Yeah.
It was in that era, I'm sure. But yeah, I was showing all these people. And of course, there are lots of down under jokes because she's Australian.
Right.
So, of course.
Get
Chloe.
It? Vagina down under. Yes.
Chloe, who is played by Brittany Snow, who, for those of you who saw the Hairspray, like the movie musical Hairspray.
With John Travolta.
With John Travolta in it. She played Amber Von Tussle.
Right. You got to be careful when you say the Hairspray version, because there's like
three different.
That's why I said
movie musical. Yeah.
But like when you said that to me to begin with, I went like, which one?
Yeah, because
there's been so many.
So she was on that. So she's freaking out. And Chloe, by context, we're guessing, is very like controlling. The Bellas are her life.
Right.
She's freaking out. And Becca, again played by Anna Kendrick, just tells her she needs to calm down. Everything's going to be fine. And they're waiting in the dean's office just talking, or in the dean's like waiting room talking. The secretary comes out and says, the dean is ready to see you, tramps. And so they kind of go in there, and, you know, it's going to be bad. The dean's in there with John and Gail, who are saying...
Why?
Yeah.
No clue.
They said...
You're part of a podcast, not part of the organization.
They must be part of the organization. Okay. I have no clue. They said, acapella is suffering everywhere as a result of this incident. Sponsors are pulling out. People are not getting booked.
Yes,
they make it
that's
sound
the
like
reason acapella is on the down.
They make it sound like there's some gigantic industry. And it probably was like in 20, like whenever the movie
I'm
going to
tell you, it probably,
out.
It's not like gigantic. It's still an industry.
Yeah.
You know, Pentatonix sell records.
Yeah, they do somehow.
Rockapella is still touring.
They are.
You know, my friend from college was in Rockapella. And then... The guy from Rockapella, you say, like, he eats young people.
Well, it's always because they have to.
The blonde guy from Rockapella.
Yeah, he's the only one who's left. I think he eats members to retain his youth. And so every time they have to get a new member, it's because he ate one of the previous ones.
He's like the Betty White of Rockapella.
You watch out, hot in Cleveland, people. You just wait. They basically say all this is happening, so they're going to make an example of the Bellas, of the Braden Bellas, just so that they can show that, hey, look, no, this isn't what acapella is all about. Let's get sponsors back. So they've been banned from singing the national anthem at the Puppy Bowl or to recruit new members to the Bella House.
I mean, that's when you know you made it big in the acapella. Not singing the Folgers coffee song. Every day I wake
up. I'd rather do the Puppy Bowl than the Super Bowl. Come on. Because that's funny.
The Folgers commercial, though. Like,
oh, the Folgers commercial?
Yeah, like Rockapella. Like, that's like when you do jingles. When you
Almond Joy commercial.
Chewy, chewy coconut.
Anyway, the... of course, they're saying, hey, you know, but... You know, but this is our lives. This is whatever. Like, we're Bellas. We have to do this. And John, of course, says, it doesn't matter. You're women. You'll all be pregnant soon.
Which is another great line.
Yeah. Which is, so I, of course, by this point, I'm like, I get it. It's supposed to be an ongoing.
I get it. You're a sexist weirdo. Yeah. Whatever.
So we cut to Catherine, played by Katie Seagal, bringing her daughter Emily to Barden. Emily just wants to be a Bella like her mom was. Right.
Didn't I say she was the girl from Edge of 17?
Yeah, Emily's the girl from...
She was nominated for the Academy Award for True Grit. She played the girl in True Grit.
Yep.
There you go.
A very accomplished actress. She does well in this movie, too. So, we cut back to the Bellas. And by the way, before I get into this, Katie Seagal, hearing her sing, I was like, oh, I like her voice.
Does she sing like a Futurama?
She does sing in Futurama.
Yeah, so I was thinking.
Yeah,
like they do
she does. And
stuff.
She has a fine, like, alto voice. Like, I love hearing it. Like,
I love anything Katie Seagal is.
Actually watching her sing, I was like, yes, okay.
Yeah. Peggy Bundy, I love you.
So the Bellas realize that their title hasn't been stripped, according to the documents they received from John and Gail. so they can still compete for the world title because they want to show that they this is all just a fluke and that they still are the top. Of course, John and Gail laugh and say, well, you know, good luck with that. We've seen these groups. They're phenomenal, and you're not that caliber. Meanwhile, we cut back to orientation, where all the new students are there, including right. Emily.
Yes.
We're introduced to we meet Jesse in this movie. Apparently, Jesse, I'm assuming, was a character from the first movie because he seems kind of established.
Right.
So we meet Jesse, who leads the Warblers.
No, the Treble Makers.
Treble Makers. Warblers.
They just look
the
like they look like the Hogwarts the musical. Pretty much, it's Gryffindorks. They look like Gryffindorks. But the Troublemaker, I swear they were in the first movie.
They had to have been.
They had to be because they've established a relationship. Yeah. I think maybe they were like, Anna Kendrick. They might have been pining for each other, kind of thing. Who knows?
Rivals turn love interests or whatever. Yeah. Knows?
So again, it's kind of like this whole Bad News Bears, Misfits kind of thing.
So Jesse is played by Skylar Astin. So he was in Hamlet 2, like movie wise. He's been in a couple other things.
Broadway, I think.
He's been in a couple other things, but more importantly, I think he was in Spring Awakening.
I think so.
And he was in Rent. So he's had these like big
it's
Broadway
a bitch
roles.
Of living, I'll tell you that.
So yeah, there's a lot of these like Broadway people that I'm like, oh hey, you.
Which makes sense that they would be in a musical movie like this. This isn't a musical. I mean, it lends itself, but
it kind of is. We have those moments where they break in a spontaneous song though too, and
yeah, but it's based on a competition, always.
Right? Yeah.
So or you know, based on
it. It's no more musical than like Glee,
right?
It danced that line,
right?
Yeah,
right.
So, so they do another mashup we have going on, including a Mika song,
great song by Mika, the lollipop song.
Yeah,
well, I don't even know what it's called. I'm gonna assume it's the lollipop.
I think it's just called the lollipop.
Sucking too hard at your lollipop. I'm not singing in this episode.
You just did.
I know, but the people are gonna get sick of
it's
that.
It's gonna be our new intro.
Sucking too hard on your lollipop. Oh, the deuce. How's that? Is that a good intro?
The deuce gonna bring you down?
The deuce ain't gonna bring you down.
Anyway,
Bobby McFerrin.
Or were you trying to do the beat?
I was trying to do my Bobby McFerrin impression. Did I do it?
Yeah, perfect.
Wow.
Anyway.
Don't worry, be happy.
Anyway, so the Bellas exit the office, and they decide they're going to fight for this. So Flo keeps doing these lines where she does – they're like, this is like the worst thing that's happened. She was like, oh, like one of my relatives –
I had diarrhea for 7 years.
Yeah, she said that earlier. So – or like this one is like whatever family member kidnapped me and kept me in a dungeon for however long. So, and I'm like, okay, I get it. This is her.
She basically flips.
She has the same like shtick as Sofia Vergara in Modern Family.
Kind of, in a way.
In Colombia, and does their Colombia.
Jay.
Talks about how bad things
Jay.
Are.
Jay. Do your Sofia.
I like did. It was so.
Jay.
So, of course, I'm kind of like, yeah, I get it. It's the same thing as Sofia Vergara, but with Guatemala. Emily runs into, Benji and Jesse are talking.
Right.
And
after the
orientation. And they meet Emily, and of course he's tongue-tied, says he wants to saw her in half. And she's like, wait, what? And they said, oh, he's obsessed with magic. You have to understand that. And as we're looking, we were kind of like, where do I know this guy from? Because we were both trying to place who he is. It was a younger version, of course, but it's Ben Platt. For those of you who
are theater geeks, are Tony Award winning.
He was in Book of Mormon, and more recently,
he just won a Tony Award
for Dear Evan Hansen. Yeah. So, he's got
so
quite
put
a
cast on his arm. And
So he's got quite a pedigree too. So, I was really impressed by that. I was like, oh my God, it's Ben Platt. So Becca, or excuse me, the oh yeah, Becca gets a call about starting a new job on Monday, and she kind of keeps it away from everybody, but doesn't really tell them. So you know that something's going to be going on there. Bellas continue. They go home, and they're still sorting through hate mail that they got from before the incident.
From the Muffgate.
From the Muffgate incident, yeah. And Fat Amy says, we need to win so we can stick it to these chumps sending us all this hate mail, like this Sonia Sotomayor. And she turns this page around, and it has the Supreme Court seal on it. It's signed Sonia Sotomayor, and it just has letters pasted on there that says, die, bitches, die. And that actually made me crack up. Yeah. I like when
she said judgy bitch or something like that.
Yeah. That's something I liked from Rebel Wilson, because it wasn't like her trying to be like, ooh, I'm being weird with this. It was just like her talking.
Right. It was a joke. It was a flat joke. There it was. It wasn't like I have to be awkward, weird.
Yeah.
So it worked.
But, and I think she delivers those well. Like,
I
she
think
does
in
that.
This movie, like, there's certain times where she delivers something and you want to laugh, but you're like, it's just kind of like just too awkward and weird for me. You know what I mean? It doesn't quite get it.
Yeah.
And that's where I think their direction's actually better in this than the script itself. But we'll talk more about that.
Yeah. So, Jesse, you see the next day, Jesse wishes Becca luck at her first day of work. She has an internship at Residual Heat Recording Studios. Her boss, who's played by Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah.
And who they never say his actual name, the boss's name.
No, they really don't, do they?
No. So I'm just going to call him Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah. He just plays the douchebag boss that he's played.
He's not even
sketch.
A douchebag boss.
I don't think he's a douchebag. He's just a very, like, passionate and very much like...
He's on the go and very... He makes sure that people know what they need to do. Like, sometimes you get it where you get the incompetent asshole boss, and he's not any
of
that.
He's not a douche. He just hates Dax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dax is his nephew.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I never got that.
He says it a bunch of times.
Oh, okay. That's why. I really wasn't paying attention to that.
Yeah.
Because we weren't
seeing. Usually it's muttered under his breath where he's like, if you weren't my nephew.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not that he doesn't do a good job in this, but I just feel like this plot is just kind of not part of the movie.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm watching a different part of the movie.
I felt like I wanted more of that and less of some of the other stuff.
Kind of.
But less of Amy for the most part. But,
it's like, she's like the equivalent of What's His Face and those
Hank Galifianakis.
Movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it goes too far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, between the first and second one, she became so much more of a breakout star.
Right.
That I think they were like,
so
just
Zach
do whatever you want. Like, we'll cut whole parts of
but
the
But that's script. How Zach Galifianakis was kind of, too.
Yeah, he was as well. So, turns out, her boss says, hey, Snoop Dogg wants to record a Christmas album.
I think at this point, he's Snoop Lion? He changed his name to Snoop Lion.
He did, but he still said Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
In this. So, I think it was back by that point. So Snoop Dogg says he wants to record a Christmas album, and they're going to produce it. But it's the same songs that everybody sings on their Christmas
albums.
Right,
so they want to do something different.
So how do you set it apart? And he said he wants answers. Of course, Dax says, how about those barking dogs like at Christmas time? And he goes, what? Mm-hmm. And he makes them run laps because it's a stupid idea.
Or how about Dr. Dre produce it? Boom, there.
Yeah. And so...
Done.
You know, they're like, okay, well, what are we going to do? So he gives everybody time to come up with an idea. In the meantime, Emily shows up to the Bella's house. They couldn't do auditions because they weren't allowed to add anybody or go recruit anybody. And so the auditions got canceled, but Emily still went. So she shows up and says that she should be in it because she's junk. And, of course, Cynthia Rose, played by Esther Dean, who does some singing on this album.
Oh, I got that joke, because she's junk?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when my friend went to go see Garbage, and they're like, "Hi, we're Garbage."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Well, we don't want to listen to you if you're Garbage." And they're like, "No, that's my name."
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And so, by the way, Cynthia Rose, who her character as I, her only character trait as I can piece it together, is that she's a sexually aggressive lesbian.
Oh, probably.
Like
yeah.
her gimmick is to say, to make a sexual innuendo and then wink at the girls.
Okay.
She does that over and over.
Yeah.
And so she
goes, oh, yeah, she does.
She comes up just like out of nowhere from around the door and says, what'd you say about your junk? Wink.
Look, we don't know any of these characters. Going into this, I was like, I assume she's a lesbian.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. You know, I didn't want to be all like, okay, you're a black lesbian with like hair, like butchy, you know, hair. But then then she said it and I was like, okay. You know, I guess my gaydar is still on. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So they let Emily in, and she said that what she meant was her mother's last name is Junk. Her name is Emily Junk, and she's a legacy, which is why she should be allowed to be a Bella, and why she wanted to audition. And they said Junk, and they kind of like asked her about her name. She goes, "What's better than my dad's last name, which was Hard-On?"
Mm-hmm.
Which I think was a joke that just fell flat.
Yeah.
But apparently.
But again, they said it correct.
Yeah.
They said everything right. It's just not it's not a good joke.
No, exactly.
But to me, it was directed right. It was delivered right. It's a bad joke.
Yeah,
that happens a lot in this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why it's not a bad movie. It's actually a decent movie, but it's like disguised in a way.
I think one of two things happens. Either you get good direction with a bad joke, or you get bad direction with a good joke.
That happens a lot in a lot of things.
Yeah, know? And I'm like, oh my God, just hit it one way or the other. And sometimes it hits both where it needs
to. Yeah, that's when you get gold. I think maybe that's what the first one was, because it was such a, I don't know.
But apparently, so Chloe recognizes Emily's mom's name and says, oh my God, you're Catherine Junk's. Catherine Junk is your mom. She was a legend, from 1981.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so
I made her younger.
So they said, well, you know what? We can't recruit, but you came to us, so technically it's a loophole, so we'll let you in. So they add her to the group. No other conflict happens because of this. Like, it's not like they find out and she's in trouble or questionable.
What did you say? At this point, it's kind of like it's equivalent
to Animal House.
Animal House?
Yeah.
Because they're on secret double probation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, kind of.
Yeah,
a lot of this movie,
acapella house.
These movies borrow from other of the movies, you know.
Oh, and you can see Animal House, PCU. I mean, hell, you see Animal House in PCU. So, like, you get those kind of things in there. Mm-hmm. So she wants to audition for them. So she performs an original song.
Boo!
And she says,
"You don't do that in acapella world."
She says, "I'm going to perform an original song. So try not to be dicks." And because they're all kind of gathered around to listen to her. And she goes, "I'm sorry, that was very rude. You know, I'm sorry about that." And she goes, "Fat Amy, by the way, you have a nice vagina." And she gives, but I actually like this because it was not like extended awkward scene. Rebel Wilson just goes, "Proceed."
Yeah.
And I laughed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, she auditions with her song awkwardly, but she gets in. Immediately to celebrate, they crash an acapella only party. And I'm getting like in this. The world,
I didn't know those existed in college world, but they do.
Yeah, in the world.
10 years
of this,
ago, they wouldn't. They would be called Loserville, but, you know.
Yes, then they would.
Yeah.
Not now. So. In Barton,
what do you have like an acapella party? Do you have chips without the dip?
Yes.
I just thought of that.
Correct.
I was just wondering.
The
what?
Very true.
Yeah.
Flat soda. The apparently at Barton it's like. Like, in place of, like, fraternities and sororities, it's all, like, a cappella groups? Is that what I'm... It seemed like to me.
Yeah.
Because there was... The girls from the Bella House. You haven't been to
Barden University? It is a cappella world.
It might be. It sounds like
it is. I took a tour once.
All I know about it, I didn't see any classes. I didn't see... The girls were, most of the times, were practicing stuff. And F
sharp. Can you sing an F sharp? And I'm like, no, but I can probably get an F sharp in one of my classes. Yeah, that's Barden U. It's also called BU. That's what the locals call it, BU.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Barden University.
Barden University. Old Barden University.
Old BU.
The old BU fighting maestros. they crashed the acapella only party. You're right.
They
party.
Don't go to class.
No.
I don't know how they graduate, but they do.
Yeah. Which we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. But so they show up to this party at the... Troublemaker's house.
Troublemakers.
He seriously almost called them the Warblers again. so we get to see, again, Benji awkwardly tries to talk to Emily and is making a fool of himself. Becca gets back from her first day, and Jesse asks why.
Well, I like when he tried to, like, do the whole, like, I'm escaping.
Oh, yeah. He goes, he's having this awkward conversation, not even using, like, whole sentences. And she goes, are you trying to ask me to a movie? And he's like, I guess. And so she says, well, I got to get started with classes. Let me get settled in first.
Yeah.
And then he throws, like, a little flash thing to, like, escape and, like, curls into a ball. Yeah.
It's funny.
I hope that's how Dear Evan Hansen
is. It is. They wrote that in.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
So Becca gets back from her first
day. That's actually how he breaks his arm in the musical.
Is it?
No.
Doing a magic trick. He saws it off. Jesse asks why she hasn't told Chloe about her internship. And she says she will. But, like, in the meantime, he's had to kind of head Chloe off the pass and say he doesn't know where Becca is. Meanwhile, Bumper, played by Adam Devine, shows up. Which
we assume he's probably in it. I mean, they set it up like he was a character from the first movie.
Yeah.
So I think he had to be in the first movie.
Because
they don't have any introduction to him. He's there. He has to be in the first movie.
And it says he's a security guard, like, right, on his shirt. I don't know if he was a troublemaker and now has, like, graduated out of that. Because I thought they said he graduated.
Probably.
So I don't know if he's a troublemaker and he's graduated. Or what, but obviously he's got connection with Fat Amy, so they are talking, of course, right, eventually they sneak off. Right, they're attracted
to each other, yeah, they sneak off.
They're hooking up, so
they are
doing kind of a dance party, they're all singing, Bumper and Amy sneak off. Lily just pokes her head out of the water. So she's the Asian gal on the team.
Whoa, she's Jeremy. Asian. Whoa. Oh, yeah, you're right, she is.
And thus far, I've heard her say nothing.
Okay.
But she pokes her head out of the water, looks around, and then goes back under the water.
That's about right.
Let's see. So then we come to see the Bellas go to a Volkswagen car show. They've been replaced on their regular tour.
By Vocal Adrenaline.
By
Oh, wait. Sorry, I just called them Vocal Adrenaline.
They basically are Vocal Adrenaline. Yeah,
Vocal Adrenaline.
It's Das Sound Machine.
Das Sound Machine.
So they can understand what they're up against. So we get another mashup with Muse in there.
Yeah. Was that Muse?
It was Muse.
It was a Muse song, yeah.
I guess it's supposed to be impressive. It was.
Yeah. I guess it was.
Yeah.
Look, this is a far cry from when Rockapella did a Farfik Nugent commercial. You know what I mean? You remember that one?
Farfik Nugent. Farfik Nugent was for... Was that Volkswagen?
I don't know. I'm doing a joke. Come on. there's no commercial. Don't YouTube it. I'm lying, folks. It's just a joke.
Farfik Nugent. When they did an ad for Datsun.
Datsun.
So after they do their number...
Dodge, dodge.
Everything these Germans sing to, it all sounds like Gothic.
Slug bug.
It all sounds... It's also a Volkswagen. What are you doing? It all sounds like Gothic, because cathedral music.
Yeah, it sounds...
I mean, it's... I don't hate it.
I don't hate it, but I'm like...
But I'm like, I get your gimmick.
We're supposed to be, like, impressed by you.
Yeah.
Like, you're the best. No.
So then we meet the two main people from that, who are Commissar, played by Bridget Hjort Sorensen, and...
Don't Turn Around.
Peter Kramer.
Yeah.
Peter Kramer.
Who played by Flew LeBorg.
Yeah, who's comedian. You've seen him on stuff. I've seen him on MTV. I've seen him on At Midnight. He just does. He's just... His shtick is he says weird things, and he says, "Oh, I'm like this."
Yeah. So they notice the Bellas in the audience, and after the show, they come and talk to them.
Right.
They're just giving crap to him. And of course, like, Flew LeBorg or Kramer is just bashing. He calls her Fat Amy or something like that. And she was like, "How do you know my name?" And he was like, "Well, I just assumed that's what it was."
Hey,
and starts calling other things like Lazy Susan and like a couple other things like that. So then they say, "Hey, we need to get together, get our act together, because we need to make sure that we can take them down." And so the Bellas start practicing and working on their show, and we have a montage with, like, awkward gymnastics, ribbon routines, fire eating, etc. Like, they are doing all these crazy things, relying on gimmicks. And Emily points out that, "Hey, we didn't even get to sing today. What the heck?" And they said, "Well, Becca hasn't put our mixes together yet. You know, they said, we really need you to do that so we can get our choreography going." Mm-hmm. Apparently she still hasn't told Chloe about the internship yet. So they cut back to the recording studio, and Snoop is performing.
Wait, did you talk about when they went back to where's the montage where they start training again? I thought that was before we went back to the... Well, there's a montage where they're
the
like
one where I was just talking about.
Yeah, oh yeah, but it's an important montage. Right? Where they're all training and they're like, we need to get back into shape, right?
Yeah.
Were you just talking about that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking
sorry.
About.
Sorry.
You're fine.
We'll edit that out, right?
No. We will listen to every word.
No. Because I wanted to say, I swear I saw, well, it's kind of like Mimi on the Hoops, right?
But there
was Mimi on the Hoops in the background.
Oh,
I swear. I saw her.
They probably.
No, it wasn't.
They had like somebody who was doing like, they had like three hula hoops going at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hula hoops are in there. That's the one I forgot.
Yeah, I just wanted to do a Mimi on the Hoops joke.
You should always be allowed to do that.
You should always have to do a Gethard like joke or whatever. Go ahead.
Not have to, get
it's
to.
Required.
You get to do one. So Snoop is performing, and it's not quite right. Like, something is missing with it. Something's not where it should be.
I love that Snoop Dogg is in this movie.
Yeah. And he's,
I love that he's mellowed and he's grown in his age. And
oh, he's plenty mellow.
Hanging out, well, yeah, he is. He's hanging out with Martha Stewart, smoking, you know, doobies, whatever.
Up for an Emmy.
Emmy Award winning show. I don't know if they are.
I thought they were nominated.
I thought they were too. Yeah, actually, yeah. Emmy nominated Snoop Dogg is in this movie.
Yeah,
I never thought I'd say that.
So he's performing. It's not quite right. Nobody has any idea how to fix it. Until Becca remixes and kind of layers it with some other audio, and her boss loves it. She's just like playing around and saying, that's
how
I would
singing,
do it.
Yeah, he's "Here Comes Santa Claus."
Yeah.
"Here Comes Santa Claus." You know, like kind of rapping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she layers some other music with it, and he loves it. And he says, you know, "Wait, so what's your deal?" And she says, "Well, I sing a cappella with this group. You know, we've won three national awards." And says that she really wants to be a music producer. And the boss says, you know, "If you have any demos, I'll listen to those." So he's, you know, willing to give her a shot because of what she could do. Becca comes home and
I want to say that Snoop Dogg says, "That was perfect, Snoop." And he says, "Groovy like a drive-in movie." Which I'm like, oh my God, that's this year's, like, "With My Mind on My Money and My Money on My Mind."
Groovy like I'm driving movie.
Groovy like a driving movie.
I appreciate the fact that, like, Snoop Dogg he'll be like, yeah, he'll just poke fun at himself or, like, do weird things. Mm-hmm. And he's fine with it. He rolls with it.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
We roll something else too.
I'm glad to see he always takes the high road. Anyway,
boom, those are your two marijuana jokes in this episode of The Deuce.
Oh, you think it's just those two?
Oh, God, you have more?
No, okay. I don't. Not that I know of.
We don't condone the use of marijuana jokes, by the way.
We don't?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What? Why? Why were you dropping that in the middle
of
it?
I don't know.
You can say all the marijuana jokes you want. So Becca comes home to see the Bellas pillow fighting, and of course points out this takes them back many, you know, takes women's rights
yeah,
back
it was
many
like,
years.
Whatever.
But she said, hey, there was a strange invite with just an like on the front porch, and they open it, and of course it plays like ominous music.
I don't know who did that invite, but that invite is amazing.
Yeah.
I love that invite.
Yeah, it looked really cool. And it just has an address and a password. So Lily, and I didn't catch what she was saying, she just whispers something and smiles, and I'm guessing that's her gimmick, is she whispers weird things, says weird things, or just pops up out of places.
Yeah, are some of these girls new? And we don't know. I think maybe some of them are.
I don't know.
I think some of them might be.
I think Emily's got to be the only...
I don't know. I think some of them are new, but whatever. Again, we didn't watch the first one. So.
Right. I'd be interested to see. But they make it sound like all of them, like, we don't get an introduction to any of them.
Not really. Yeah,
so that's why
that's
I think
true.
They're not new.
Okay.
So they show up to this place. And they never
the
give
password
the guy's name.
Is fart noise.
Yeah, and so she goes, they go, what's the password? And she goes, fart noise. He goes, it was in parentheses, so make the sound. So she has to make a fart noise, and he lets her in. It's David Cross, who, by the way, because they never say the actual guy, the character's name.
Yeah.
But David Cross, instead of his name showing in the movie, he was credited as Sir Willips Brightleysmore.
Oh, okay.
So
I thought he was his character from Arrested Development.
You thought he was Tobias?
Yeah, I thought it was Tobias.
Well, he does like this weird, like, it's like a cross between
thing?
Like a southern thing or like a lispy gay weird
yeah, like
thing.
A gay southern, like a yeah. gay guy trying to be a southern belle.
Yeah.
Kind of weird thing.
It's very weird. But obviously he's rich and eccentric. He says he's the number one a cappella fan, and he leads the girls.
And that's not true, I am, but keep going.
What?
I'm not.
Oh. So he leads them to some underground arena and bar?
Yeah, downstairs.
Yeah. And
I'll tell you what, this movie does a good job with the cameos.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. They see the treble makers there, and Das Sound Machine is there as well.
Right. What's going on?
And he says, welcome to the first ever showdown of the National Laser Ninja Dragon League. And they're going to have a sing-off. I think the point is he's looking for a new act after he lost those chipmunks.
of Alvin and Simon and Theodore?
Yes, yeah. Correct. And of course, once he says all this, then he goes, can you dig it? And I was sad that the Warrior reference happened here.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I didn't even get that.
You didn't get that?
No.
Really?
No. Why would he say that, though? Oh, because the Warrior's, like, bringing in
yeah.
different... Okay. It lost.
Excuse me. So... We see several groups there. So, of course, we saw the Troublemakers. The Braden Bellas are there.
But we have some new
groups. Das Sound Machine is there. We also have the Tone Hangers.
Yeah. Who are in the Tone Hangers?
So, Adam Devine is with them.
Adam Devine.
So
shows up.
But also Joe Latrullio.
Joe Latrullio.
From the state.
Reno 911.
And Reno 911.
Nine.
John Hodgman.
Mm-hmm.
from
Daily Show.
Yeah, the Daily Show and the John PC Hudson. Versus Apple commercials.
Podcasts.
Yes.
Twitter. Yes, that I don't know.
Jason Jones, also from the Daily Show.
Samantha Bee's husband.
I believe Samantha Bee's husband. Okay. And Reggie Watts.
Reggie Watts, the band leader for the Late Show with James Corden.
Yep, and
Comedy Bang Bang.
Comedy Bang Bang.
Comedy Bang Bang. I love Reggie Watts.
And of course, the fifth group
is the well-established
the pride of Wisconsin, the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers. Now, I read that the actually Green Bay Packers were fans of this the first movie.
Yeah.
So they messaged Elizabeth Banks because they knew Elizabeth Banks was casting and doing this. So
nice.
That's how they got onto this movie.
Yeah. Which I was like, are you serious? When they showed up,
they
sing
pretty well.
Shit.
They don't sing that bad.
No, they were fine.
They were fine.
Okay, so first off, I felt like this was a pilot for an a cappella game show.
Kind of.
They said there's going to be like genres or like a subject that would come up that everybody would have to go by or like sing songs around it. And basically they would have a sing-off. But it was follow
the
leader style.
You mean like to sing off?
Yes. Okay. But it was follow the leader style. So like the first group would start with something and the second group would pick up part of the way through and keep going. So so the winner gets bragging rights and a $42,000 card to Dave and Buster's gift
That's
card to
sweet.
Dave and Buster's.
Now 40 I wouldn't do it, but 42,000?
Yeah.
I'm there.
That would get you a couple rounds of skee ball, I think. So the first category is songs about butts.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting mix. And right. It starts with, I can't remember who started it. It was DOS Sound Machine starts
sure.
it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it goes around like you
it goes around.
Song and they keep going through
they,
all these.
They pick a different one with butts.
Yeah, and doing mix. And oh my God, like the Green Bay Packers actually do really well.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
They do their like own little bit of choreography mm-hmm. to it and they sound really good.
They do sound good.
Which I was impressed. Like
yeah.
I don't know if they had a vocal coach or what, but man, that was good. I was impressed. But it gets
all that
back
cheese,
around.
All that cheese that they have.
That is, it keeps you robust. Yeah, yep. It gets around to the troublemakers.
And they're out.
Yeah, Benji derails it.
Yeah, they derail
it. He's doing fine. They started to sing I Like Big Butts. And
then he sees
Emily. And he's like, I can't remember what the lyric was, but then he was like, I would take her for a nice dinner and this and this and this and be a gentleman.
Yeah.
And they were like, and then of course David Cross, you know, says how dare you you think you can do better than the lyrics of Sir Mix-a-Lot.
It's a Grammy award winning song.
He's a knight. He's been knighted by Queen, by the band Queen is what he said. So they are out. The second category is country love.
Country love. At first I thought it said Courtney Love. And I was like, you're just singing whole songs? Like you're just going around the room and like Malibu and like some other like the parts, but it's country love.
Yeah, so they go through and they all sing it, but eventually Clay Matthews from the Green Bay Packers blows it.
Yeah, so
he
the Green
just,
Bay Packers
he blanked.
Yeah, he blanked.
Yeah, and he even started by saying, "This is my category.
Yeah,
I
my
got
category."
This. But he blew it. So we go to the third category. I Dated John Mayer,
which are singers that dated John Mayer.
Yeah. And so they go through a few of them, and then
Taylor Swift. No, not Taylor Swift.
Vanessa.
I don't know.
Vanessa Carlton?
I don't know. Who? Yeah, Vanessa Carlton. Whatever. I think everyone dated John Mayer at the time.
It's true. And so they get around to the Tone Hangers, and they start singing "What's Love Got to Do with It?"
Yeah.
And finally, everything stops, and he goes, "Are you suggesting that John Mayer's and Tina Turner got together?" "Yes, he did. I can prove it." And they're like, "Nope, it's sorry, you're out."
Those legs are a wonderland, though, themselves.
So we finally get to the fourth category, 90s hip-hop jams. And it's another good mix of music. I mean, all these mixes are pretty good.
Yeah, back and forth. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's, you know, taking some time up.
And especially because it's not just all one group with their style. It's like five different groups and kind of changing back and forth. 90s hip-hop jams, and they're doing really well. And then it gets back to, there's like a lull for a second. It goes to Emily, who sings her own song.
Originals, boo!
Yeah, and he goes, wait, did you try to sing an original song? We don't allow that. And they disqualify them. So the gift card goes to Das Sound Machine.
And they do their rendition of Chris Cross's Jump Jump.
Yeah.
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 Don't they?
Yeah, they do. DSM will make you jump,
jump, jump.
The Commissar will make you jump, jump.
Hitler will make you...
Ooh, jump, what, jump.
Did they say that?
I don't think so.
Oh, God, I thought they said that.
It's hard to tell through the German accent. So Becca shows up at her office. Her boss has listened to her demos, but they're all just mashes or mashups. Right. And he says... You need to have something original. You need to have something I've never heard before. He's like, you're talented, but all these other people out here are talented also. So how do you set yourself apart from them?
Except Dax. He's not talented.
He's just his nephew. So he's going to give her another chance, though, but she needs to show him something. At home, Becca is having trouble coming up with something. And tries to call Jesse to talk to him about it, but he's not there. So all she has is, the only person she has to talk to then is Amy. So Amy is talking to her, and of course, she's trying to boost up her confidence.
Right.
Mostly, it's just Rebel Wilson being weird.
Now, this is where Rebel Wilson, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, it's like when she said her line, I smirked a little bit. But, like, it went down pretty fast. Yeah. I didn't laugh. I just was kind of like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, ugh. And I don't know if it's just we see it so much. It's kind of like, I hate to compare it to this, but it's like the Urkel complex.
Yeah.
Where it's like Urkel got big, but he wasn't part of the show to begin with on Family Matters. And then it was always about Urkel.
Right.
So I feel like these movies go, well, people really like that. Let's up that. Let's put them in that more.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but they only liked it in doses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think everything was right. Like, she gave the direction correct. It's just the script wasn't quite there.
Right. I do like her line. She says, you're the most talented person I know. And I've met three of the Wiggles.
Oh, I hated that
line. She was intimately.
I hated that line.
I laughed at that line. But yeah, so.
Because it reminded me of that 30 Rock episode.
Oh, with the.
Right, and I thought that was better. So I was like, I just want to watch that.
And you should. You should watch 30 Rock. So Amy meets Bumper for a hookup. But he's got this whole romantic dinner planned. And she's asking what's going on. And he says, hey, he wants to date her. Of course, Amy says no. And of course, Bumper starts getting upset and saying, oh, no, you know, no, I was just messing around.
Mm-hmm.
Amy knows better and says, hey, look, she cannot be tied down. And of course, Bumper at that point says, you know, we're done then. Like, I need something more. So he breaks up with her. And she leaves. And of course, Benji and a group of the other...
Did you feel like that scene could have been more dramatic? And, like, I was like, oh, here's Rebel Wilson going to be more dramatic, like, sweet and dramatic? I thought, like, it was going to go down that
route. I thought Adam Devine did fine.
I thought he did fine, but then I thought, oh, this isn't a chance for him.
He did dramatic plus humorous.
Right.
And then, like, the ball gets hit over to Rebel Wilson to where she's just, like, just talking and being random.
Yeah, do I do a fart noise now? What do I do?
Yeah. And I'm like, no, just be, like, I mean, she could have been dramatic and humorous also, but she didn't do that. They were just like, just do stuff.
Right. And I think that Rebel Wilson could have the heart, but, it, like, a heart that you wear on your sleeve, right? But it just doesn't work in this movie.
Yeah. So she leaves, and of course Benji and a bunch of the other troublemakers in a boat come up to serenade, because that was part of their romantic evening. And he's telling them to go away. And they're like, well, I figured. And they're like, he's like, why would you come up here now? And he goes, well, I figured since she was leaving that we'd play her off. They're like, just no. So the Bellas
can
go
I tell
to
you
a
what?
Gig.
I actually like the Troublemakers.
I do, too.
Like, I'm like, I don't know. I want to see more of them.
I did, too, actually. I wanted to see more of that.
And maybe they are the first movie.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I feel like that's their rivals in the competition, the first movie, and
right.
They end up being friends.
Yeah.
Like the Rancho Carne Toros and the Clovers.
Don't act because you saw like 20 seconds of Bring It On.
I've seen Bring It On before.
Okay.
Don't. You just saw me sing a small portion of it. Anyway. So the Bellas go to a gig. And John and Gail are there just to, like, document how they're doing in their...
Why?
I have no clue. And I don't even know what kind of event this was. We even rewound it, and I didn't understand what it was.
I didn't know what it was.
But,
actually, my notes, gig.
Yeah, that's what I said. Gig. That's all I can figure out. So
it's a mess. The lesbian girl gets her hair caught on fire.
Yeah, they're doing
MJ
too much.
MJ style, Michael
Jackson
style.
They're like,
style.
Well, this is not their...
They
like,
try to do
a little
vocal
off.
Adrenaline.
Yeah, they're like, this is a little off.
Right.
And they're like, well, at least you're not using any props. Here come the props. And
right.
They just start. And it really is like, and I've seen this happen before with like show choir stuff where somebody relies too heavily on a gimmick.
Right.
And it was just like,
well,
stuff going everywhere. And,
you know, they have the yips.
Yeah.
They think that I needed to do this because our shtick's not working anymore.
Right.
I don't know why I'm giving you Yiddish words. Is yips a Yiddish word?
I don't know. I just know it's a baseball thing.
Okay.
Anyway, but so, of course, Cynthia Rose's head starts on fire, which is never a good deal. And they blame each other for what happened. And of course, Amy blames the newbie, so it blames Emily. But eventually, Chloe says, hey, we just all need to go to a retreat. I have the perfect idea. We're going to go to this retreat, and we're going to learn to work together. So Emily, of course, talks to her mom, Catherine, who says that she and tells Catherine that she has doubts about this. Catherine says to stick with it because this was some of the best times of her life, and she would have dreamed of going to the world, Copenhagen in the world competition. Benji paints an encouraging message on their tour bus. Except it says, instead of saying you're going to blow up at the Lincoln Center, it says you're going to blow up the Lincoln Center, which is awkward.
Maybe.
Yeah. And
maybe for about two of them in that group, it's awkward. But white people don't have anything to fear in that.
Oh, God.
What?
So they arrive at this camp, and it turns out it's run by Aubrey. Who's Aubrey, you ask? We don't know.
We don't know.
We assume.
I assume she's probably maybe a senior. Like she was from the first movie. She graduated,
she
maybe?
I'm pretty
maybe
sure
she
that's
was in
what
charge.
It
maybe
been.
She was a charge Nazi.
Yeah, because she seems like she's one of those people who's controlling or tough or whatever.
Right, maybe. We don't know.
And she's played by Anna Camp.
Well, great.
So for those of you who don't, for those of you who don't know, she was in True Blood. She played
in
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. She plays Jane Krasinski's Krakowski's rival.
Yeah. But who was she in True Blood?
She was... one of the Rising Sun people. She was the main, or she was the this like preacher's wife.
Oh, okay.
Why can I not remember her name?
That's
anyway,
fine.
But I think that I almost wish I'd see her in something a little bit more prominent because I think she could do pretty well.
I like her.
I think she's got a subtle humor to her. She appears to be from the first movie, and basically they all.
Oh,
course,
she was
they,
in The Help too.
Oh yeah, she was in The Help. They all run over and hug her and everything, so they know her. And she says that she's got this job now doing these corporate retreats, and she's going to whip them into shape. And immediately, of course, gets tough on them and says they're all going to be camping in the woods, so they're all sleeping in one giant tent. Then she wakes them all up in the morning, and they do a mashup montage, which I thought was kind of a good montage, like hearing them all. of course.
Yeah, except it was like, it reminded me of Sister Act 2, when they were doing the whole mashup things at the beginning, because it was very kind of Motown-centered. It was very old school.
I mean, like, the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. Yeah, which I was like, that's kudos to you for just having all that.
Kudos for you doing a show choir song.
And, of course, Becca loses it. She's under a lot of pressure because she has her own thing she's got to do. But she's still being pressured to do stuff for the group, and, like, she's not going to be able to work on her music this weekend. Amy tells her, come on, you've just got to come clean. And, of course, Chloe goes, what does that mean? And Amy tries to back away from it, but it's too late. It's kind of out there. So Chloe tries to drag it out of Becca. And Becca tells her about the internship. And Chloe's like, I don't know why you wouldn't have told me. And she goes, because this is your life. You don't think we should be able to have lives outside of this. And, well, that's not true. But, you know, it is. And so as she starts storming away, she gets caught in like a net trap, like that whips her up into the trees. And of course it's slowly breaking, so they're trying to figure out how they're going to catch her. They get underneath of her, and then the trap just drops, the net drops with Anna Kendrick in it. And it shows Lily hanging upside down from the rope with like two knives.
Yeah.
And she goes, I hang upside down like a bat or something like that. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just weird Lily moments.
Not weird. I mean, it's not bad. No. It's just not great.
Yeah. And so they later they are together around the campfire, and they're kind of bonding and talking honestly. Mm-hmm. Chloe admits she's scared to move on, and which is why she's so obsessed with the Bellas, because she doesn't know what she's really going to do. She's devoted her life to this, and it's almost over. Becca and Emily agree to collaborate on the song, so Emily can get her song out there, and Becca can help produce it. Cynthia Rose says she's moving to Maine to get married. That's it.
Yep.
Flo said she's probably going to be deported, but then she is going to try to make it back into the country, but she'll probably die at sea trying to come back. Lily, they ask Lily what she's doing, and of course she whispers everything, but she says, I'm going to be traveling through time.
Which is true.
Which is probably right.
It's fine. Probably true.
And of course, like, they break into a rendition of When I'm Gone.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I like this moment.
Yeah.
It was sweet. It was nice. It was kind of more, in a way, it was almost a swan song.
Yeah.
And I liked it. It was fine. It was a little different rendition.
Yeah. Now this next part, I have to tell you, until the whole thing with Anna Kendrick in the net, I did not know. I didn't realize there were two other girls in the group.
Oh,
who I think are twins.
Yeah.
And I don't know if their gimmick is that, because she's like, I don't know which one of you is which. And they both go, I'm Brittany, or whatever it is.
I thought they were new. I thought they were the new girls. I thought they were also new. And they might be. They might not be. I don't know.
She says she didn't know which one is which. And, of course, they both get confused about which one they are, which seems odd to me. But then later on, they're like, oh, we didn't even ask you guys what you're doing. And they start to talk. And then Amy interrupts them and says, well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. And she says she has no plans after graduation. She's just gonna do whatever she feels like, or like she thinks that she'll go to some place like Houston or Little Rock and be a professional jelly wrestler.
Yeah.
And then
you didn't get that when you were doing the career assessment test? You didn't come up jelly wrestler?
I got a guidance counselor washer.
You didn't get like, oh, no. You did.
No,
I wonder if it's going to be Smuckers, though. It better be, because if you're going to wrestle, it might as well be Smuckers.
I'm pretty sure it's like KY Jelly.
With their name like Smuckers. Oh, that jelly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha. Wow.
Don't put that on your toast.
I thought, well, it's like real lady marmalade. Do you know what I mean? That's what they call lady marmalade. All right.
You can really tell we don't watch like like mud wrestling women or whatever.
No. Yeah.
This one missed us. So she says she'd
like
be a
mud
jelly
wrestling. I just thought, you know.
She said she'd be a jelly wrestler during the day, and then at night she'd go home and curl up next to her fiance Bumper. And she stops and realizes, oh my God, I'm in love with Bumper.
Mm-hmm.
And she runs off because she wants to go get Bumper back. So now we have a Rebel Wilson musical number. So she's singing We Belong and like standing on a kayak or canoe or whatever.
Yeah, she's canoeing it.
Paddling her way across. Which this kudos probably, to her, that takes yeah. some balance. So.
This is probably my favorite Rebel Wilson part of the
yes,
movie.
Yes, I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
So she's heading across, and of course I laugh because she's singing, and then like part of the way through, the music kind of stops, and she goes,
"Yeah,
oh, I didn't realize how big this lake was."
Right, I thought that was funny.
Of course they were saying, why didn't she just walk around? And they said, well, she doesn't do anything small.
Right.
So then she finally gets to the other side, climbs up, and she's like trying to sing, and it's like kind of breathlessly singing it.
Then like a car comes by.
Yeah, and then she gets up to the road, and the car kind of it stops, and she waves it to go on, and it honks at her, and she starts to walk, and it starts to pull up again, and then the music stops, and she's just yelling at it now, like telling it to go, and finally she makes it up. So I thought it was a fun moment.
I thought it was great. I thought that worked great.
Yeah. So she, of course, Bumper doesn't want it at first, but eventually they start making out and like occasionally singing between, making out. So, let's see, now Becca and Emily, we cut back to them in the studio. Becca's like, hey, don't tell my boss that I'm doing this, but let's record this. And they record her song and produce it. They play it for the boss, and the boss says he doesn't like it. And I went, uh-oh, that's not good. He says he doesn't like it because he's threatened by it because they did something that he could do, too. And so he doesn't like being threatened. So it's kind of this, like, he's saying he doesn't like it, but it's also this kind of, like, nervous compliment. And he says, you know, he looks forward to working with both of them and to keep it up. So they're both excited. Then there is this,
like Keegan-Michael Keel is a good foil to it's different. God, those scenes are always so weird to me.
Yeah.
Because they're outside of the movie kind of in a way.
Yeah.
So their own little story that doesn't involve the rest of the group. So it's really weird.
Then there's like a 1 second shot of them graduating.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's over.
Yeah, it's a very St. Elmo's Fire moment.
I was like, what happened? They graduated?
St. Elmo's Fire, click, boom, you're graduated.
Yeah,
boom.
And that was
off
it.
To Copenhagen.
Yeah, and then they're off to Copenhagen. So it was such a footnote. It was so weird.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're talking about graduating. Like, oh, we're graduates.
Yeah,
and
we're
then
graduates.
Moving on. And so, of course, Becca says, let's go visit Hans Christian Andersen's house. And Fat Amy says, that guy? Are you sure? He was so crap in those Star Wars prequels.
Right.
But I'm bum. So.
And he was. I hated Hans Christian Andersen.
So we get to the World Championships, and there's all these different podcasting, like acapella podcasting.
Yeah,
things.
I'm sure one of them was whatever podcast
it
was.
It was like
Mouth Off podcast.
It was probably one of them. So it's like ESPN people all doing here. So, and of course, Let's Talk Capella is there. They said, hey, look, technically the Bellas have a chance, but really they don't. Like, they just have as much chance as anybody, but I wouldn't count on it. And of course, they have a montage of people singing Any Way You Want It. Because what Glee-like show it's a very does not Glee include thing. Any
And these are
wanted,
real acapella groups.
Yeah, they are.
Now, Jeremy, if you were in an acapella group, what would your acapella group name be?
I do not know.
That's okay. Mine would be No String Cheese. Because I would get the guys from the Green Bay Packers to be in my... Yeah. And No Strings, because we're acapella.
There you go. Yeah.
It works. Keep going.
What?
Go ahead.
So you see different teams from, of course, different countries, or they're supposed to be from different countries. Of course, the Canadians are Pentatonics.
Pentatonics? Pentatonics?
I have Pentatonics.
I don't know. You're not a fan
who
of
who I hate. I'm
you,
sorry.
You hate him.
I'm sure this will make this will probably end our podcast.
No,
but I
there's
hate
people that don't like him.
And I could take most, actually, and when I was listening to most of the other ones, I'm like, yeah, okay.
What's
I can
the other one
this.
That does Christmas ones? Straight but No Chaser?
Straight No Chaser.
Yeah, are they a cappella? I swear they are. They do a lot of Christmas albums, too.
I don't like them either. You know, something about straights and No Chasers, it just doesn't work for me. So, but no, so Pentatonix is up there. So some of the other actual a cappella groups who were in here were the Philharmonic, Pen Masala.
The Philharmonic?
Yeah.
Who are they?
F-I-L Harmonic.
Some guy named Phil? Just saying?
No, but that would be a P-H.
Oh, okay.
This is just Phil, F-I-L. Philharmonic.
Okay.
I
thought it was like Phil Dumpy.
Pen Masala. The Cantasticos.
Yeah.
That was the Spanish language
one. That was the Spanish
one.
Yeah.
And then the Sing Box.
Yeah.
So these are all the groups that were there.
Yeah.
So Vocal Adrenaline.
No String Cheese. They weren't invited,
yeah, no
I guess.
String Cheese was not invited. They had a game or something, I'm sure. just you. They're like, well, we have to play the game. And you're like, guys, get your priorities together.
Come on.
Where's No String
Get
Cheese?
Get to Copenhagen as quick as you can.
So, Dust Sound Machine. They do their big number. So they're performing Light Them Up by Fall Out Boy.
Are we supposed to be impressed by this one, too?
I thought it was okay. Mm. This sound was good to me.
But the sound like, was okay. But
yeah, they were just... They production were, all they were doing is just dancing in leather kilts.
Yeah.
Which
is a Friday night for me.
They do fine, and everybody cheers. But then it's the Bella's turn. And so they do this, like, hand-clapping thing, which to me, I'm like, okay, it's, like, reminiscent of,
the
like...
Cups.
Yeah. They always do something like that where it adds another component. But they do this hand-clapping thing, and it leads into a medley culminating with the original song by Emily. Which is a bold move for them because doing an original song did not work out so well for New Direction. and of course, when they're singing too, a bunch of former Bellas join up with them and are singing with them too in their outfits.
Katie
and
Seagal.
Like Katie Seagal, of course, we know.
I was
she's
like,
one.
Was that Robin?
It was
Roberts.
Robin Roberts was up there.
There you go. I didn't know she was.
I don't know if she was playing herself.
That's my girl. I love Robin Roberts.
But Robin Roberts was up there.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're singing the song as Flashlight or whatever it is, I think. But they're all, like, shining their flashlights back and forth. And, of course,
is
when the song
be
is
like,
done.
The first one was Cups. This one's Flashlight. The next one's going to be, like, motor oil
Turtle
or
wax,
something.
Yeah,
yeah something.
Well, in the end, the crowd goes nuts for it. They loved it. And Das Sound Machine and the Commissar, they know they've been beaten based upon the audience cheering, so they kind of silently move off from the backstage. We go back to the Bella House, where they put Emily through her initiation. They give her the keys to the house and warn her not to go into the basement because it's haunted.
Could be from the first movie.
It could be.
Or it could be a joke that they just put in.
Which I thought was funny. I like Anna Kendrick's delivery, so.
I do, too.
She says it's haunted. They also tell her that they have to slide down the stairs as part of the initiation, which I'm positive is from the first movie.
Yeah, that one's, I mean, that was in all the promos for the first movie.
Yeah, so Fat Amy says she'll show Emily how to do it, and so she awkwardly slides down the stairs And as she gets to the bottom, she kind of crashes and rolls around, and she says, "I nailed it." Or she's like, "I nailed it. I can finally move on. I can leave." So then Emily gets ready to go, and she says, "Here I go," and that's the end of the movie. So it cuts out there. And of course, there's it's playing some music too by actually the I'm trying to remember what the gal's name is, but it's by one of the actual Bellas.
Right, the girl that played the lesbian girl.
Yeah, yeah. By Esther Dean.
Yeah.
Who plays
beautiful
Cynthia
voice.
Rhodes. Yeah, she's very
she does a
voice.
Lot of soundtrack stuff. So
so it's playing. But then it cuts away to Bumper, who's performing on The Voice.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume by the judges that it's season 72 of The Voice.
We had Christina Aguilera and Usher was there.
Yeah.
Or no.
No, it wasn't Usher.
Pharrell.
It was Pharrell.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Usher was terrible on that
yeah,
show.
Yeah, he was. So he's performing, and of course, Blake Shelton turns around and sees him and then turns back around.
That's
he's like,
pretty funny.
"No, you can't do that. You can't do that." And then eventually all four of them turn
around. Some of
around.
That was kind of funnier than the movie. But.
Yeah. All four turn around. And of course, he chooses Christina Aguilera. And then that's it for the movie.
That's it. So you've been deuced.
You've
that
been deuced.
That is episode 17 of Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah. So that's what we thought about it. But what did other people think, Bradley?
Well, I got a couple of reviews here. This person gave it a 10 out of 10. Her name's Carolyn McNeil. Excellent sequel with a touching message. Summary, Bella Barton's made a huge opening mistake that cost them their reputation as a professional a cappella group. In order to regain their status in the group and friend, they need to win the world championship of a cappella. In my opinion, I loved 100% this sequel does, with excellent choices of song, hilarious scenes, goosebumps reactions of final performances that actually made me cry because I felt what they felt of the fear of tomorrow after graduation. I love the voice of Emily Junk. Wow. Speechless. The song Flashlight. Wow. I cried a lot. Beautiful cover song by Anna Kendrick. For me, I believe they need to leave the sequel as the final closure of Pitch Perfect. I recommend it without a second thought. So that's what they say.
Sorry, lady, you're getting a third one.
Yeah, sorry, lady, you're getting a third one. So this person gave it a 3 out of 10. Hollywood loves pointless remakes and sequels. And this is from Doofus Spoofus. What's his name? I know.
Mopus Dopus.
Doofus Spoofus. Wow, another Gethard callback.
Yes.
Okay. I hated this movie almost as soon as it started. Everything was just off. It tried way too hard to be funny, forcing Rebel Wilson to have to act extra weird and quirky as opposed to just naturally weird and quirky. Beck is working at a lame record studio while trying to tell the Bellas she's going to quit. There's like two or three new girls that I can't remember because they're not memorable. See, they said that there's new... There may be. Then they go into the lame camping thing where Audrey now works after graduating. The group of German singers they're going up against really suck and won't even be hard to beat, except that Bella sucks too. Their end performance was crap, especially compared to the first movie. Pitch Perfect was hilarious, charming, original, and great performances. Pitch Perfect 2 had strained and pointless. There you go. That's Doofus Spoofus.
Okay, so I can see some of that. I think that the thing about Rebel Wilson is I think that they were just like, they probably did not give her enough of like a guidepost of what they wanted her to do or how to do it. They probably just were like, do your thing. And she just went.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, the scene where she's on the boat works for me. A lot of it just, I thought, again, which I'm going to reiterate this in our questions, like Elizabeth Banks, I think, directed this very well. It's a very well-directed movie. I think the script is not good. I think it's kind of kind of floaty in there. But I think Elizabeth Banks directed the hell out of this movie. She needs to have kudos for her for that.
Yeah.
But She's only as good as her material. And actually, Elizabeth Banks, I just read, is going to do a new Charlie's Angels reboot.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Like reboot or continuation of the last?
Maybe a continuation or a reboot. I don't know. But that's set for 2019. So
okay,
that might change.
We have plenty of time to cancel it before then.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me say this to Goofus Spoofus.
Doofus Spoofus.
Doofus Spoofus?
Get his name right.
Doofus Spoofus, whatever.
Okay.
You think their performances are so bad, you get up there and riff and try to do it. I bet you can.
That's what I mean. Like, I know I was dogging on them a little bit, but there is a production
I'm not, like, overly impressed with them where I was like, whoa, that was breathtaking.
But oh, it's so Kurt from Glee.
But at the
with
same
his
time.
Shimmy shake finger.
Yeah, and the twirling the hips move. But they still, I thought, like, I was like, eh, for the performances, they sounded fantastic.
Even the Green Bay Packers did.
Yeah, everybody did.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers was the tone gunman, tone
gunman, which are just the three guys from, is that your acapella?
That's my acapella name.
The tone gunman.
The tone gunman.
Where, are you going to get the three guys from the Lone Gunman?
Yes,
from the
X-Files? They're backing me up. The ones who are still here are backing me up.
You're going to just sing songs about alien conspiracies? Yeah.
Chris Carter just is like... he just whistles the X-Files
thing. He just whistles that.
So the tone hangers, even those guys, I wasn't expecting much. And all of a sudden I was like, holy crap. Like, they made me... I was like, wow, I was impressed with the fact that they did that.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a lot of people who got the chance to sing who you normally wouldn't get to hear. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm glad we did. And so, you know what, though? Like, acapella stuff is hard. I will tell you, because, like, when I did show choir... when we would do acapella stuff, it's a tough one. It's tough to keep that pitch and everybody to be in sync that. So as much as I don't like pentatonics,
you understand why people like them and what the appeal is and the strengths that they have.
I don't care for pentatonics, but you know what? They do a phenomenal job. Right. Like I will admit they do a phenomenal job. I just don't prefer them.
Right.
And so, you know, anybody who is in this, they all do phenomenal. Actually, I would have liked more of a chance to see some of the ones who are just in the montage of Any Way You Want It to see a little bit more. But I get why we didn't have to go through
it. It was
all that
between them and Vocal Adrenaline. I can't think of their name. Das
Sound Machine.
So I think we're ready for our five questions, don't you think, Jeremy?
Yes. And it makes me wish I would have remembered to write them like I normally do.
Well, our first one is, what was the best part about this
movie? The best part of the movie.
Go ahead.
I really did enjoy the music.
Yeah, the music
more,
is good.
More than I thought I would. Because, like, I remember I kind of got gleed out after a while where I was like, I get it, an effing mashup. You know, like, it was just like, I know they're coming and I know they're... Mashups sometimes I think get overdone.
Right.
But the stuff they did on here and the mixes they had with them, I enjoyed. I thought I had a pretty good job. And they had a pretty good variety of music, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like new stuff and older stuff.
And older stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Glee, too.
Yeah.
They do that.
And then outside of that, like, I thought that there was a lot of, like I enjoyed Anna Kendrick's performance. Even though she wasn't on screen a lot, Katie Sagal... I'm glad we got to see her. And the girl, I can't remember her name,
Emily?
Who played Emily.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Emily, too.
Yeah, I didn't think I would.
I didn't think I would either. Out of performances, I think Emily's probably one of my favorites. I do enjoy Anna Kendrick. I actually enjoyed Keegan-Michael Key, even though I didn't enjoy that part of the movie.
Yeah, he did
a good
job. I
think my favorite part of this movie is actually the direction of the movie. The directing of it is very well. So I think my favorite part of this movie is Elizabeth Banks and her directing. I think this what she was given, she made the best of what she had. I think it's a script that needed to be rewritten, and instead it wasn't rewritten, and it got pumped out a little bit. But I think that Elizabeth Banks can be a director that we're going to see.
hopefully we'll see more of her. I'm glad that she isn't just being in front of the camera. She's also being behind the camera, too.
And me, too. I am, too. I almost feel like this movie was... I feel like this movie is a little bit of a victim of its own, like, surprise popularity.
It is, which sometimes happens with sequels.
But it, you know, the first one, I think, caught people off guard.
It became such a phenomenon. Like, we got to pump this.
That they were like, no, you know, we could do more, you know, rewrites, but just move.
Which I think happened with The Hangover, too. I keep comparing them. But
yeah, it did.
There wasn't as many, like, what I did enjoy about this movie is it's not relying on fart jokes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There are some, but it's not like, here's a gross out humor.
Yeah, mostly Rebel Wilson does that.
Yeah.
She makes a lot of fart jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I'm glad that we're not relying on that in this movie. But having said that, there is a portion of the comedy that gets lost in this movie.
Reboot, continue, or cancel?
Wait, I haven't seen the first one. But based on this, I just kind of... I don't know. The acapella thing is kind of just fade and gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm done. I think I'm done.
I would say... I want to continue it.
Okay.
And I know it's going to.
Right, you know it's going to. And I'm not saying, like, I don't want it because it's going to continue. But
right.
I'm just kind of like, I'm over it. I think it was a good swan song. I actually think that song, the flashlight song, is a good song to end on.
Yeah.
For a movie. I think it's okay. And I think it's okay to end the whole shebang on it. But that's just me.
I would kind of like to see what a next installment would be and end it after the third installment.
Like, what do you think it's going to be? I mean, they can't all be. They have to have jobs, right?
Just singing at, like, a dog school or being nuns. I don't know what the... I would guess it's something is happening with the Bellas and they all have to come back together. And Fat Amy and Bumper getting married or some such nonsense.
Or whatever. But, or something. Yeah. Something like that.
So,
or is everyone, I mean, I think Anna Kendrick's involved in it, in the third one. I don't know, we'll have to look
that
up.
I think so, okay. Yeah. I would guess they're back, at least in some aspect. Do you think this movie stands on its own?
Again, we haven't seen the first one, but I think it does.
I don't think it does.
Okay.
And I get the general gist of it. But there's a lot of stuff where I'm like, what the shit does that mean?
Yeah.
And I assume it's because it's inside jokes from the first movie.
Yeah, there was a lot of inside jokes.
When they
jokes.
All run up and hug Aubrey or
right.
whatever.
And I'm
I was
like, why is she important?
Yeah. And so
why do we give two shits about Aubrey?
But we know from watching these sequels and stuff, we understand the context clues of a lot of things.
Right.
In ways that you have to understand it if you haven't watched the first.
Right, so it's easy to, like, know that these people were important.
Right. So, yeah. I don't think it
stands
on its
own. Yeah, I kind
of
agree with you. I don't think it does, but...
I get it. I got what was going on. But, like, I feel like I'm missing a big piece of the story that I needed to be like, ah. And maybe I would understand it or appreciate it in a different way than I did. So... or vice versa, like the like Mopus Dopus or whatever said the
Doopus Goopus Mopus like, Dopus
like fruit was it Fruitus Lupus
fruit Dingus
fruit
Loop Dingus
whatever Fruit Loop Dingus said about like he didn't like it or she didn't like it. Maybe seeing the first one would make me not like this one as much.
Maybe.
Who knows? Does it make you want to see the first one?
Kind of. I mean, it's kind of a kind of. I don't think it's a yes or no. I don't think I would not, like, if it was on, maybe I'd watch it.
Yeah, same here.
But
it makes me want to see it, but I'm not like, shut this podcast off because I'm going to go watch Pitch Perfect. I'll watch it eventually. You know, it's on my list of stuff I'd want to watch at some point.
Yeah.
Sum your experience up in two words.
Off pitch is mine. Like, it was just missing something. This movie could have been, like, a really good comedy.
but it was missing that one. I feel like they needed another ingredient. Like, you know, like you said, it became so popular so quick, the first movie, that when this second movie came on, I feel like they needed something new or someone new to kind of pump up the comedy a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, Emily's not going to bring that. She's a singer-songwriter. So that character is not going to do that. I feel like they needed that. Then they could all mash together, and maybe we could see a new kind of aspect that they could bring the comedy in. Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe this third movie will do that.
Yeah.
But I say off pitch. It's like I give it a 6, like on a scale of 10.
Yeah. I say B flat.
Right.
Because this movie, B flat.
Yeah.
The, yeah, I think
there's something flat about it.
Yeah.
It's not that it's stale. It's just that it's right before stale. Do you know what I mean?
It was like, it's just there.
Yeah.
There's nothing that was like, ooh, this is great, or nothing that was like, ew, this is bad. It's just like, it exists.
Is it entertaining? Yes, it is. It's part of entertainment.
I would almost say, so think about.
It's not laugh out.
Independence Day, Resurgence.
Mm-hmm. Do I have to remember that?
Right. Or Mission Impossible 2.
Okay.
And how much we were like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost rather hate something and just really be like, ugh, this is awful.
Than something that's so, like, just border.
So mediocre.
So mediocre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as mediocrity goes, I'm probably not going to remember this.
No. This is not a movie I'm going to remember.
But the good movies I remember.
I'm going to remember
the really
bad,
movies I remember, too.
This movie's going to get lost.
Yeah, this is kind of... just going to get lost in the shuffle in my head.
No, I'm going to think of the first one before I think of this one.
Yeah, which is a shame. I think there's so much about this movie that is good.
Yeah.
That it kind of suffered under the weight, I think, of its own. Like,
I think it's good.
Yeah.
It can be better.
Exactly.
It could have been better. But I think that is a lot of, like, Elizabeth Banks, too, in the direction of where it was going. That kind of saved it. Because I think their script is not good, but...
yeah.
That's us. Well, that is episode 17. You've been deuced on that one, so boom.
There you go.
Next episode, Grease 2.
Yep.
So where can they find us, Jeremy? Go ahead. Keep going.
Well,
I was going to say, there's just some sequels coming out in general in the movie theaters that maybe people want to check out, like the new Blade Runner movies coming out.
Yeah.
Actually, a sequel to a documentary, The Inconvenient Truth.
An Inconvenient Sequel?
Yeah, An Inconvenient Sequel. So, check out those if you want to go see recent.
Yeah. In the meantime, though, if you want to listen to some of our past podcasts or just subscribe for the future, you can actually find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher.
Wait, we're on iTunes?
Yeah, we are. iTunes, Stitcher.
You should probably rate us if we're
Google
on
Play Music. Yeah, rate us on Google Play Music or on iTunes. Stitcher, Podbean, anywhere.
Someone asked if we're on Spotify. We're not on Spotify.
We're not on Spotify. So the thing was, like, when you're going in uploading your feed to all of these, and like they have to check it out and actually approve you.
Mm-hmm.
They listen to your content and find out, like, I think iTunes rates us as explicit.
Wait, we're explicit?
Yeah.
How?
I don't know. I read the guidelines, and so we're. I think it was because we occasionally say some potty words. So
what do we say? Shit?
We said the F word a few times.
We've said the F word, shit, damn, hell.
I'm sure.
I don't know. I just wanted to say all that to piss off iTunes.
And now we got the extra explicit lyrics. But Spotify was weird, and it was like, I think it wanted us to be more professionally like put out. Like, it was weird. So we just kind of didn't opt for that. Maybe in the future it'll be something we come back to. But right now, no, we aren't. But that's where you can find us.
So thank you for that.
Yeah.
And, that's the end of this episode. Stay tuned for episode 19. We are headed to what we are calling our, kind of our crown achievement, which is episode 22. That's coming up, so it's a countdown to that. So look forward to that, but as for now, the sequel is king.
one day the water will be gone. There ain't no one here to walk the land. One day what you know be wrong. There be no one here to hold your hand. But right now we're crazy youngsters. Time is running out, but who cares? We're running free. They call us crazy youngsters. We don't apologize, we're mad and running free.